What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into the show. You know, y'all are here for me every week, getting me through these times, and I just wanted y'all to know that I'm here for y'all in whatever way you need. Please feel free to reach out on the social media, through email. Get in touch with me. I'm here for y'all. Know that none of us are going through this alone. Also, I just created a Patreon, so if y'all would like to subscribe to the Patreon, please do. I would love the support. Thank you so much. This is The Art of Letting Go.
Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Today, I got a special guest in the building. Man, sneakerhead or sneaker aficionado, music aficionado. Now, this man knows a whole lot, and shit. My brother's keeper, man. Can you please introduce yourself to the people?
Absolutely, man. My name is Oluwale Awara. I'm a young Nigerian from South Central LA. I'm a husband first. I'm a creative. And yeah, I'm just here to be a vessel, man, in any way I can, honestly. The way that I know how.
Yeah. At least. So how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's what's up. Before we get started, I'm going to have us all take three breaths, me, you, and the listeners, just to bring us all in the same space so you could close your eyes and you could keep them open.
Sure.
Are we going to breathe in? Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. We're going to breathe in one more time. And let it go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Sure. Welcome to the podcast.
Man, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Man, like I feel like I've been wanting to bring you on for a while because we always have just really dope conversations.
Yeah.
But I mean, the timing feels perfect just because I feel like people need you right now, man. And I don't know if you know that, but, you know, just kind of from what we were talking about before with, you know, just men needing those outlets and stuff and just everything that you're doing, you know, with my brother's. Well, first, can you tell the people what my brother's keeper is?
Yes. My Brother's Keeper is a nonprofit that I run. It's for men. It's centered around mental health, where we focus on identity, purpose, and self-care. prior to this quarantine, what I was doing was it's something that was birthed that I believe the Holy Spirit gave me back in December of 2018. Something that was very unfamiliar with me, something that was very uncomfortable, something I didn't understand. I had my first official meeting with about five guys at my house in February of 2019. And from then it just started to grow. I started doing it quarterly. So it will be every 3 months we'll have a brunch. It turned into a brunch series, man. It's literally the beginning of being able to bring men together. And you know, us as men, a lot of us are Superman. You know, we like to save everybody. We like to be there for everyone. You know, it's a very admirable position. But what I found out was that, you know, before you can be Superman, you have to be Clark Kent first. And I believe that if we took the time to really understand Clark Kent, it will make us a sharper, stronger Superman.
That's what's up, man. And you know, I think every time that I've came, I've definitely gotten something out. And how have you converted to, because I know your format of what you do is like mainly, you know, in person and connecting like that, but how have you created that space for your people to connect digitally, now that that's the way that we have to go?
Oh, that's good. That's really good, man. That's a good question. It's funny you bring that up. I'm actually working right now with a team of guys. I'm so thankful for it, man. Shout out to Andrew Blanc and Renal Colson and Brandon Rainey. we are working towards having a brunch, actually.
That's what's up.
This month. We're going to have a brunch this month at the end of the month. So this is the first time it's ever been set out in the public, but we've been, you know, we're doing that. We have social media platforms now. We just launched our Instagram account, My Brother's Keeper, the last week in April. What we're doing is, this is a really good question, bro. I'm excited to talk about it because I haven't really talked about this to anyone. But so what we're doing is like our Instagram account that we've created will now be for like highlights and updates or, you know, opportunities and things that are happening. What we're really going to do is we just started our Facebook too. We launched our Facebook. Now what our Facebook will be is that during this quarantine, it gives us a day to day. It allows people from all over the world to be able to interact from a day to day. So it will be strictly men only, you know, where no matter what walk of life you come from, and we'll literally just have conversation day to day, whether it be questions or whether it be comments or something that a men, you know, that men make, we'll be able to have that day to day form conversation on Facebook. Outside of that, is it will all lead up to the brunch that we're going to have at the end of the month in May. So that way, you know, it's almost like, you know, if Mike Brown, you know, from Houston, Texas, meets, you know, Jeremy from New Zealand, they're able to come together through that, you know, because we're, you know, in quarantine, and thank God for, you know, our online resources, they can come together and, you know, finally meet up at the brunch where it's like our almost like the commencement of everything, you know what I'm saying? And then that would just lead up to more events and things that'll happen once we're out of quarantine. I know I was kind of long-winded with that, but
man, something that I think about a lot because you know, I've experienced a lot of men's brunches, and the one thing that I noticed the most, and just like just spaces for men in general to speak, but the thing I noticed the most is like people of the LGBT community don't show up as much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think my biggest thing just being a part of the community is trying to understand like, how do we bridge that gap?
That's amazing. That's a good question. I think what it really boils down to, number one, I understand exactly what you're saying. I don't put, you know, my brunch on a pedestal or anything like that, but I'll be honest to say that, you know, we've been afforded the opportunity to have people from the LGBTQ community to be a part. And I think that it's not something that, if I can be, you know, frank, it's not something that I focus on. Yeah. It's not something that I make a big deal out of. The reason being is just because, you know, my pastor, he always says, he has a sermon that he preached called When God Suspends the Rules. And, you know, basically he was saying, you know, if we all wore our biggest, you know, our struggles, or if we wore all wore it on each, our, you know, on our foreheads, or, you know, if it was a shirt in front of us, there's a lot that we couldn't say about one another. And so I look at, you know, a person's sexual preference at that same way. You know what I'm saying? It's not my job to judge anybody. It's not my job to frown upon what you do. Because if you knew the things that I would do, you could have judgment about the things that I do. So what I focus on is just loving somebody. I believe that we are the salt and light of the world, and that it's not my job to tell you what you're doing is right or wrong. That's not even a topic of conversation. I believe that's why a lot of, you know, LBGTQ, did I say it right? Okay, you know what I mean. Respectfully, with love, man, I believe that that's the reason why a lot of people have strayed away from church, just because they've been hurt by church. They've been, you know, they've had people in church judge them and make them feel like because of their preference that the God that we all serve is not loving on them. And I just don't agree with that. You know, yes, there's a heaven and hell, but it's not my job to tell you what you're doing is right or wrong. Just like it's not your job to tell me. I believe that it's our jobs to just love one another, and that through love, just how Christ loves, because there's been tons of things that I've dealt with. Let's just take identity. You know, I struggled with identity for a big chunk of my life. And it wasn't until I just really started communing with God. It sounds so churchy, man, but it's just my heart. Like, where I just really came to God the way that I was. And I just seen him start to love those things out of me. A lot of times we say, you know, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then when we mess up, it's like, oh, God is mad at me. That's not how God operates. The way that God operates is that he takes you the way that you are, and he'll love you so much, meet you where you are. He'll love those things out of you that with time, it'll change the taste. Now, I'm not talking about sexuality. I'm talking about just things in general.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I try not to focus on it just because it's not my concern. I'm not worried about what other people think, or, you know, if there was a transsexual apart, or if there was a homosexual man apart. It doesn't bother me, or a bisexual man. I've had bisexual men at my events. I've had, you know, homosexual men at my events, and they all feel as if they belong. And that is the secret ingredient. That is what I really appreciate, because for me, it is no matter what your sexual preference is, the fact that you are a man, we have the same struggles. We all deal with the same things, man. So why would I sit there and focus on that one piece when there's so many other things that we can be able to work through together?
Yeah, man. And I really do appreciate you sharing that, because, you know, for me, like I said, being able to, like, a lot of people in the community feel like I get a pass, and maybe I do, you know, maybe I do because of how I am and who I am, but I always try to show brothers that there are brothers that will connect with you with however you are, whoever you are.
Yeah.
That. So that's why I really do appreciate you sharing that, man.
I'm a musician, man. So, you know, I mean, there was a time where I was doing music full time. I know tons of people that, you know, are part of that community. And it does, if anything, I feel like it says more about you, the person, if you feel a way about someone's sexual preference, than the actual person, just because I'm comfortable with me, man. Like, you know, I'm gonna love you regardless. You know what I'm saying? If anything, I think the biggest challenge is for people to just be more comfortable in their uncomfortability, like just being comfortable with who they are, like unapologetically. Like when you learn to become comfortable, no matter what your sexual preference is, because I don't want to focus on that. Like when you learn to be comfortable with who you are, period, male or female, you start to move different, man. There's a confidence that you carry. There's a confidence that you carry. And it's like, I always say this all the time. I say, like, man, I feel like Eminem and 8 Mile. Like in the last scene when he had the rap battle with Papa Doc, like, yeah, I do live in a trailer with my mom. My girl did do this shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? But so fucking what?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that just stems from fear, man. Like you can't, people, I'm not, you know, there's a declaration, there's a song that says, you know, I'm no longer a slave to fear. And that was like my purge, bro, in 2018. I lived my whole life by that. In 2018, I literally said, I am no longer a slave to fear. I will not allow fear to control my mind and control my heart posture in the way that I move with things, with people, just period. Opportunities, anything. So
that's been one of the biggest things that I've been like learning and working through during this quarantine, like just working through fear. Cause I, you know, kind of like we were talking about earlier, I'm not trying to go back to how things were, because I'm not just looking at the good things in my life. I'm looking at the negative as well. And I see
how
fear has affected my life. And now seeing myself moving differently within this quarantine, is really giving me the time to just reprogram everything that I've been doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to, bro. No, this is what I told people, man. And people thought I was crazy, dude. I don't want to, you know, lock in on politics, but in a way, I understand Bernie. In a way, I understand Kanye. Like, it's just the way that the way that they think, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, the thought process about things. It's I understand. It's like, yo, like that. What I always said this to people, and I look crazy. I said, you know, in order for us to win in this season, the things that we use as a normal coping mechanism in the past will not work in this season.
Yeah, man.
The things that you used before, and it's crazy, bro. I'm telling you, because I said this, and I know that, you know, I look crazy, and people are like, oh, here you go. But, like, nah, like, I just really believe it. Specifically for men, the things that you use as a normal coping mechanism in other seasons will not work in this season. In fact, the main ingredient to help you get to for you to be able to come out on the other side victorious and stronger is community.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, I'm just around a bunch of people that enable me. No, 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 no. I'm talking about the people that you know that you're supposed to be around, and, you know, accountability partners.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what my brother's keeper is. It's like, listen, man, I just want to be able to show men that, hey, listen, you know, you can, you are a man if you do not have, you know, all the money. You are a man that if you do not have all the partners, the sexual partners, you are a man not from the things on the exterior, but the fact that God wakes you up every day. Yeah. That is enough, man. You are enough. Your imperfections are enough. It is okay. You are a human being. You have to feel those things. Why? This is why community is important. Because what happens is that this is also why I don't force anybody to be a part of my brother's keeper. I don't push it down anyone's throat. Why? Because there has to be a level of willingness that you have within you to even, you must be searching for something.
Right.
In your own personal life for you to even want to be a part of something like that. And so I believe that that's where God comes in. Like, you got to leave room for God to do his thing. Like, I don't pressure nobody to be a part. Because I believe that when you come there, you're going to get what you need. And I don't know what that is. You know what I'm saying? But right. Just the fact that you have community, the fact that you have a group of guys, and that's what I really focus on, man, too, is just creating a safe space for men to know that, hey, because I'm Superman, too, you can come here, talk about your shit, take your cape off, we can deal with these things amongst other sound guys. That way we can, you know, air our stuff out, and we can all pour back into one another, fill you up, recharge you. So as soon as you walk out that door, you can put your cape back on and go back in the world and be Superman to your community, to your people.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's why we do it every 3 months, because I believe, I'm like, man, at first I was like, if I do it every month, just knowing me, I'll get burnt out and I won't want to do it. And so I do it quarterly just to allow people time to live.
Yeah. That's what's up.
You know?
Man, what's your biggest lesson of the quarantine?
My biggest lesson of the quarantine, see, you're asking good questions, bro, honestly. My biggest lesson of the quarantine has been, it always comes back to you.
You know, somebody else shared that as well. So that's been kind of common amongst.
No matter what, it's going to always come back to you. You can blame people, you can point the fingers at people, but at the end of the day, you are 100% in control of the things that you react to. You are 100% in control of yourself, no matter how difficult the shit is, especially as an adult.
Yeah. Man, how has quarantining been being married?
Quarantine being married has been an absolute experience that I wouldn't change. I wouldn't change a thing about it. And that's what I think people, you know, have to do a better job at, is just being honest about their stuff, specifically married couples. I understand exclusivity and, you know, keeping the privacy of your home, but I also am a firm believer that transparency is the key ingredient to help unlock people out of cages and help give people courage to not feel bound or shame to things too. So marriage during quarantine has been absolutely amazing. We've had, like I just said to you before, you know, the first week, my wife and I, it was absolutely perfect. It was so perfect that we were both like, at any minute, something can happen. we like all snuggled up under each other and cuddling, and you know, and then after the first week, for about 3 weeks, man, we just was in the trenches, you know, just different things. Like I said, my wife was a musician, touring musician, and just the last 2 years of our lives have been completely different. The last 2 years of my life, I felt as if I've been in hiding. I feel like as if I've been in the cave, just really working on myself. You know, 2018 was a, I'll talk about that later, but, and I spent a lot of time working on myself the last 2 years. And during those last 2 years, my wife was traveling like nonstop. So if we were around each other, we were around each other for about a couple days, or, you know, maybe a week or a week at most. You know what I'm saying? And during this quarantine, you know, prior to quarantine, we had created our own identities and became our own people individually. But I believe that that was the best thing that ever happened to us because, yeah, obviously the first week it was perfect, but the next 3 weeks we were really, it was like we were cleaning out our suitcase.
Yeah.
Like cleaning out our baggage and really, that's why I said it comes back to you. For versus now, these last, you know, couple weeks have been absolutely amazing. There's just a different love that we have and respect for one another. I love my wife just the fact that she chooses to be here every day. You know, I take more time and spending quality time with her, whether that just be watching a movie or, you know, because we're in quarantine, what we do is, you know, at least once a week, we'll take a drive somewhere and just go look at the water, or, you know, we'll just like, we live in Long Beach. We drove to Malibu, man, got all the way to Malibu to find out, you know, that basically they cut everything off. So then what we did was we found like a little parking area in Santa Monica and we just sat there for hours and just talked. We've done it a couple of times and it's so liberating for us to just get to know each other on this level. It's like a different level of intimacy. It's not about the things we've accomplished. It's not about none of that shit. It's about like, yo, and you know, she said something to me a couple of days ago that struck a chord with me. And she said, you know, prior to this quarantine, she said, I didn't like you. And, you know, while being in this quarantine, she said, I love you. Not only do I love you, but I like you. Like, I like being around you. I just enjoy your company. And for me, it was just like, yo, I feel the same way. you're my best friend, man. And I think a lot of times we put limits on things like that, specifically in marriage, because we think, oh, well, you're the husband, you're the wife. And it's like, no, yeah, those things are cool. And yes, those are big titles. But before all of that, there's, you know, friendship.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I love my friend. This is my friend. You know what I mean?
We enjoy each other,
and it has been an absolute amazing experience, man. It's not perfect. You know, I'll make that clear. It's not perfect, but it's absolutely amazing. I wouldn't want to be quarantined with anyone else.
That's what's up.
Straight up.
Man, what advice would you give to anybody in a relationship or quarantining with somebody? What advice would you give them?
Wow. That's crazy that you asked me that question. This is a question that I've been asked just from numerous people just in private time, just literally people calling me about relationship stuff. What advice I would give them is to, you only have control over yourself. There is, yes, you may have expectations and things, you know, you may have goals in mind, but this quarantine is the perfect opportunity, specifically if you're not married, for you to continue to master yourself and work on yourself. Well, what do you mean by that? What does that have to do with relationships? What that has to do with relationships is that the more comfortable you are with yourself, the more that you love yourself, the easier it'll be for you to love other people. And I'm saying this as a married man. Had I not taken the time to be more comfortable in who I am and, you know, the things that I don't like about myself, I wouldn't be able to carry grace and patience and love towards other people. The only way that I'm able to do that is my tank is full. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely makes sense. That's what's up, man.
It always comes back to you when it relates to relationships, man. Relationships, it's a team work. It's a team effort. But, you know, if you want it to work successfully, you have to continue to work on yourself. And when you do that, what that means is letting your yes be your yes and your no be your no. Yes, there's compromise, but even that is work. You know, compromise is not one person's happy and the other one isn't. Compromise is us finding a way for us to both be happy.
Yeah.
And what that requires conversation. What that requires us being able to, you know, become comfortable. I mean, I'm being real with you. This is like even on the intimate level, man. Like it just can't work. It won't work if you are like, I know for a fact there's at least 10 people just within a 5-mile radius of where I am right now that have found their identity in their sex game.
Yeah.
And they have been in quarantine and they don't have that superpower of fucking right now. And yeah, now has forced them to really deal with themselves,
if they choose to.
If they choose to.
Yeah, because you know, it's a lot of people out here running from it, and you know, for me, it's definitely shown me that, you know, I think the reason I'm not in a relationship right now is because in the past I've always looked for completion.
Yeah.
In a relationship and not necessarily feeling the completion here.
That's big, Mike.
You know, so taking that time to really feel whole by myself makes me feel more comfortable that when it is time to go back to something like that, that I'm more prepared. And I also know what to look for in a partner as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I'm saying. Like, it always comes back to you. With specifically in relationships, man, like there are social media platforms built on by women who are hurt, shaming other men about, go ahead and get your bag, sis. These niggas ain't nothing. Like, I hear you, but what if we got to deal with the core issue, man? Like, that's not it. Are you going to keep blaming everybody?
And you know? I feel you, but I also understand that it is the product of men because, you know,
yes.
Granted, we all may be growing now and being older and mature, but there was a time, at least in my 20s, I remember most of my friends was like,
oh, me too.
Gotta be on these hoes, gotta be on these.
Absolutely.
And now the roles have reversed.
Yes.
Now women are like, fuck men.
Yes.
And men want to be the prize.
Right. Yeah. But this is why my brother's keeper is so important, man. I believe that it's a need to let men know that, yo, man, like we've had a stigma for the longest and we've fucked up, man, you know? And so I understand where those platforms come from. I'm not, you know, minimizing, not talking down to it. I definitely understand. But what I believe can help kill those things is community. Like, we just as men have to be comfortable to talk about our shit. Like, yo, you got to be comfortable to say, like, yo, I don't know how to love my girl. Yeah. I don't know how to love my spouse. Or I don't know, you know, I don't know how to say that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that made me scared. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's strength in those things. I'm telling you. I've been married 2 years, man, and it wasn't until like year after year one, honestly, where I, like, my wife, just with time, I just realized I had to tell her the things that made me uncomfortable. Like, yo, you hurt my feelings, and I'm not no weak nigga for saying that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, absolutely, I do. I think
that's what I'm saying, the more that we continue to become comfortable in ourselves, the easier it'll be for us to deal with any situation and deal with people across the board. But the hardest thing is to be able to have the strength and courage to deal with yourself, because that's not easy.
Yeah. What got you to that level of vulnerability, like being able to express that with your wife, with your friends, with anybody?
So it happened in 2018. 2018, I had got married January 7th of 2018. 2018 was a crazy year for me, man. I made close to six figures. I made more money than I had ever made in my entire life. The year before, I made 22,000. The year before that, I made 7,000. So 2018, I'm at six figures. I had a really, really nice place. We had a spot in Signal Hill. It's Long Beach. Over, like, literally had the type of spot, bro, like, where as soon as you walk in, we had a view that was, like, overlooking the whole city of Long Beach.
Damn.
And I had a lot of wins, man. I was working corporate. I worked in sales. But then I also am a musician, so I was gigging and stuff like that. I had a lot of wins, but I was the most depressed I had ever been. I was extremely suicidal, and I couldn't understand it, because I'm like, yo, you worked for this. Nigga, you're married now. All right, you're married. You know, you got the spot they used to drive by and be like, yo, we're going to live there. You got that spot. You got the job you want. You got the money. You got the opportunity. Why are you so depressed? I was very suicidal, and it was crazy because I could never understand depression. It never resonated with me in that way, or I wasn't even empathetic towards it until I actually experienced it myself. And when I experienced it myself, knowing for months and months at a time, when you feel like you're going to die and feeling like as if you left this earth, no one would be there. That's a real feeling, bro.
Yeah.
It's a scary feeling. But I'm so thankful for that moment, though. Because had it not been that moment, had those moments not happened in 2018, I wouldn't be the person I am, bro. It literally started with baby steps, bro. To be more specific, with time, I just started to become like, I opened up my suitcase of the things that I was uncomfortable with and the things that I didn't like about myself. And I just, with time, it just got easier, bro, if I can be honest with you. I started going to therapy, which is, if you know me, I was totally against therapy. It made no sense for me because I would be like, just in Black culture, you know, the way that we're raised is like, if you go to therapy, you crazy. But no, it was actually one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Life for good. And if I can be honest with you, and this is to tie into, you know, about the LGBTQ community, what really started my brother's keeper for me was I have a therapist. His name is Michael Silverman. This man is a white male who was not religious and a homosexual, and he was my therapist. And he told me, he said, you know what, I don't know. And mind you, I had never brought this up to his attention, never talked to him about it. We were just talking about my childhood and talking about, you know, the things that I experienced and just, you know, who I am as a person. And he said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but you would be the perfect person to just have to be like, you know, to create like a community of men and just let men know that, you know, that, yo, you can have swag, you can, you know, you can have these gifts, and you can be married, and you can be integral, and you can be like a real man of God. Like, I don't know what that looks like, but you would just be the perfect person to just be able to show other men that, hey, you can be sensitive, you can be in tune with your feelings, and you can be a man, and there's nothing wrong with that. And he said, I can see you bringing men together and just, you know, like, I don't know, you guys just sitting down and talking. And for me, I started bawling, crying when he said that.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was tripping out, like, are you okay? Like, why are you crying, man? And I said, listen, this is why I don't judge anybody. because I really believe in my soul that God could use anybody. A conversation that I had with God privately of something that I have been dealing with internally. Mind you, I'm 28 years old, bro. I spent a big chunk of my life, the last 27 years of my life, struggling with identity and not feeling like I was enough. And I believe that that's the reason why God chose me to be what I never had. And this is why it's been the most uncomfortable. This is why I'm not possessive over my brother's keeper, because I believe that this is a God thing. I believe that if God says that what I have given you, what doors I open up for you, no man can close them and no one can take them away, I'm going to test him by seeing that. I'm not going to be possessive over this. So this is why I give as much as I give. This is why I'm not possessive over anything. I don't try to make my brother's keeper about me, because this is a God thing. Because if you really knew me, you would know that, hey, this shit is uncomfortable for me. This ain't easy. This being transparent, bro, does nothing but force me every day to carry integrity. Being authentic is not something that's easy for people to do, because we always want people to know or like the things that we want them to like about ourselves.
Yeah.
People don't talk about the shit that's uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, it was my therapist. And this is, like I said, this is why I don't judge people, man. And when that happened, I just knew that, okay, God, this is what I'm supposed to do. And to this day, I still don't have all the answers. I still don't know everything. I'm very uncomfortable, but I found comfort in being uncomfortable, because I know that this is a God thing. And I know that if I continue, I really believe that transparency is the way to heal others, man. You know
what I'm saying? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said what? I thought you asked me, could you ask me a question? But yeah, you answered.
I said, do I ask? Okay.
Yeah. Man, what advice would you give to yourself at that point in your life? If you could go back and talk to that person, what would you tell them?
Stop worrying so much what other people think about you. I realize that that is, I just listened to a song before I hopped on, man, by Jonathan Moreno's called Comparison Kills. And I believe that, I robbed myself of so many opportunities because I was fearful of what other people would think of me. And I believe that if I can go back to that person, I would tell him, like, don't care, be you, keep your head down. You know what I'm saying? Find comfort in that there's a reason why you never fit in. I went to a brunch back in December of 2018 that changed my life forever too. And you know, one of the things was my buddy, he literally was calling everybody out. And he said, mind you, I told you I struggled with identity for the longest time. My buddy, he called, it was 12 of us. And you were a part of that. That's the first day I met you. He called every single person in the circle. He was just talking. He didn't mean anything malicious by it or anything. He was just calling every single person in there. And he was just like, you guys are all destined for greatness. And I had always been that person, like, you know, if a prophet has something, like, how come you don't got something for me? Or, you know, or like, did you forget about me? That's just my own insecurity and my own forms of abandonment and things like that. Childhood trauma, which childhood trauma is a real thing, a real fucking thing. He had somebody close out, and he said, I was going to have this other person close out, but yo, can you have some closing words for us? And there was a guy who did not speak the whole day, the whole entire brunch. And he said, you know what? A lot of times, he said, I heard this saying, a lot of times we're looking for someone to save us and be our superhero. But the reason why no one has came is because you're supposed to be your own superhero. And when he said that, bro, I felt like it was God.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a clear answer from God to say that. And I told my brother that. I told him that. I said, yo, man. I said, you don't understand what just happened. I said, you didn't do anything. I said, but the fact that this man said that, I said, knowing that I struggle with identity, knowing that I struggle with being accepted and not feeling like I was good enough, knowing, and this man said something to me that I believe was clear word from God, and he doesn't even know it. Because I haven't seen the guy since then, bro. I never had a conversation with him. I never told him. And so that, and then, you know, then again, you fast forward to what happened in January when my therapist told me, I don't know why, but you would be the perfect person for boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
All these things, this is why I believe in God the way that I do, bro. It's just because, you know, it's so churchy, but they say, you know, there's miracles, signs, and wonders. That's a real thing. I believe that, you know, God always confirmed for me, he confirmed the things. What lets me know that I'm doing the right thing is that conversations that I have in private that I don't share with other people, conversations that I have with me and God, the confirmation comes up in ways that I don't expect. So that lets me know that, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I would tell my, go back to my old self and be like, yo, you got to be more confident, man. You are enough. That's why I got this tatted. It says enough. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just be, to have a reminder for myself, to let myself know that no matter where I am, you are enough. Even if it goes deep, bro. It goes back to, you know, the reason why I fell in love with music. Like there's tons of things that let me know that I literally was living my life in fear of what other people would think of me. And I had lived my entire life and based off of what I thought that I could do. And this last year, like 2019, I cried a lot.
Yeah.
2019, bro, it was crazy, dude. Like, yes, I had, 2018 was my depression stage. I went through a lot. 2019, I spent a lot of days crying and unlearning everything that I had taught myself up until that point. We had a conversation about that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. 2019 was me unlearning everything that I taught myself and me learning this new person that I am. This is why, when it goes back to that relationship question you asked, this is why what I would give, the advice I would give to those in relationship or, you know, aspiring to be in a relationship, that the best thing that you can do is work on yourself. Because even me as a married man saying that, I had to unlearn the things that I taught myself and learn this new person that I am.
Yeah.
The more that we learn ourselves, the easier it is for us to love and be there for other people, man. I swear to you.
I agree with you, man. I do. Before we get out of here, what is one lesson or one piece of advice that you've gotten on your journey that you can share with the listeners?
One piece of advice that I can share with my, that I can share with the listeners, you know, from my journey. That there's strength in vulnerability. It's okay to not be okay. The best gift that you can ever do, the best gift that you can give yourself is to take the time to feel and process through your feelings. Why? Because when you do that, you're able to deal with it in a healthy way. Like you're able to go, perspective is everything. I think that this is why a community is important too. You know, if we just take the time to, you know, confess our sins, or you don't have to do it with everyone, but you know, those you feel safe to do that with, there's power in that, man. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in knowing that you're not the only one that's going through it, but there's also strength in knowing that you're not the only one that has to get through it too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
That's what's up, man. Man, I appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me, Mike, man. I'm really, really proud of you. And like, I'm happy for you. And I think that it was an absolute blessing that I met you, bro. Like you are doing some amazing things. And I tell you this all the time, just keep being yourself. As weird as it may feel, as misunderstood as you may feel, if you do feel those things, keep doing those things, because you will be the reason why so many people will become comfortable in who they are. You know what I'm saying? Just keep being yourself, man. And this is the other thing I would say to that too, is like, this is why I believe that, you know, we have to I would be a fool to think that I can try to save the world. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I would be a fool to think that I could save the world, man. I can't talk to everybody. Everybody won't talk to me. But this is why our community is important in relationship. I talk to Mike Brown, though. And those who wouldn't talk to me would talk to you.
Yeah.
Because I talk to you. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's like a ripple effect. This is why community is so important, man. So I'm honored to even be a part. I really, really appreciate you having me, man. And
absolutely, man. we always have dope conversations. So I've been wanting to bring you on for a minute. So I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you. Of course.
Before we get out of here, man, because I'm going to let you tell everybody where you at, but I wanted you to pray us out because I know you always, anytime you pray, I definitely get something out of it. So, man, please pray us out of here.
Sure, man. Dear God, we come to you right now just saying thank you. God, you are a redeemer. You're a restorer. You are everything and all things. It starts with you and it ends with you. I pray for every listener that listens to this podcast today, that they're able to see themselves in this conversation, that they're able to see you, Father. I ask that you meet them where they are. I ask that you continue to show yourself, to show that you are unwavering, that you are, that you love with no limitations, Father. I pray for Mike Brown that you continue to soften his heart as he continues to seek you in the way that he knows how. Just continue. We pray for the Art of Letting Go podcast, that you continue to bless this podcast, Father, that you continue to use this platform to heal as many people as possible, Father. We thank you. We love you. We honor you. We know that this is just the beginning of many, many things that you have for Mike Brown and for the endeavors that he has gone, Father. We love you. We honor you. We appreciate you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Man, thank you. I appreciate that.
I got love for you, man. I love you too, man. I know I tell you this in private, but you know, the world needs to know, man, that you're doing an amazing job. You just have to keep being yourself. Keep doing it. If you keep being yourself, like it's like Adele. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I know that may be like, well, what do you mean? I'm not Adele. No. That's not what I'm saying. Like, for example, like Adele came out with the song Hello, right? She came out with the song Hello in the opera in the time where trap was at its peak. She came out with a ballad, Adele. Now the thing with that is that with being different, you look misunderstood. You're the only one who's doing it. But I think the beauty in that is that the reward is so much greater, man. Because of that, you know, she went on a world tour and she sold out the Staples Center 5 nights in a row. The Staples Center 5 nights in a row. And that's not the whole tour. The five nights in a row at Staples Center is the equivalent to some people's whole tour.
Right.
But the point I'm making in that is just that when you're yourself, man, you look, and there's a quote that said, everybody thought that Noah was crazy till it started to rain. And so there's strength in that, man. Just keep being you, keep doing what you're doing, man. And you're touching people, bro. And what's dope about it is that you're healing yourself while healing other people, man. So
yeah, man.
I'm excited to be a part of that with you, bro.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Man, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at A Olawale. That is AYEOLAWALE. That is AYEOLAWALE. If you are a man or if you're a woman and you're interested in being a part or know someone that could benefit from being a part of My Brother's Keeper, please follow us on all social media outlets at My Brother's Keeper, which is MYBRUTHASKEEPAH. That is MYBRUTHASKEEPAH, My Brother's Keeper.
Man, I appreciate that.
Man, absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
Man, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, man.
Thank y'all for listening. This is Mike Brown. This has been The Art of Letting Go. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to this podcast and leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Let other people know what you think as well. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on all social media at The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Also, you can send me an email, theartoflettinggopodcast@gmail.com, or give us a call. Leave a message. We might play it on the show. 213-394-2773. Also, if you would like to support The Art of Letting Go, we got some really cool merch, as well as we're now on Patreon. You can find us, The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Subscribe to us. Thank you guys for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.